and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of August 20th. I am your co-host, Michael Saley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and reconnected to television, Melissa Hansen.
Hello. But not really.
What do you mean?
Well, I wasn't able to watch stuff all week because Daniel went and bought a new TV because Daniel still 2 weeks later has not called me back.
Oh.
And I've tried to contact them and Panasonic in every possible way. And everybody keeps saying, oh, they'll call you within 24 to 48 hours. And I've heard that like six times now. And I still have a broken Daniel TV. Well, anyhow, so I didn't really watch TV this week, but I did go to the movies.
Yes.
For a change, went and saw The Bourne Legacy.
Ooh, what'd you think?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's a Bourne movie.
Well, you've seen all the other ones.
But it's a Bourne movie without Bourne, but it's still the same type of movie.
Okay.
So no Matt Damon in this. His character's mentioned. He's kind of out there somewhere.
Okay.
But we deal with a new spy guy, played by Jeremy Renner. And it's kind of, we find out what they were doing to Bourne. They were, like, medicating him to make him kind of superhuman. They're doing to other spies, too.
All right, so there's a whole program of agents that have been...
The program, a handful of agents that have been medically supercharged.
Okay.
Shall we say. And Jeremy Renner's one of them. And there's this whole thing. It's a lot of the old cast and smaller roles kind of in it, but the story's kind of coming out. And Pamela Landry, played by Joan Allen, has, like, gone to the government... about what's happening, and things are starting to come out, so they terminate all the programs and stuff. Well, to terminate the programs, you have to terminate the people.
Burn notice.
So he's kind of on the run. He doesn't know what's going on. And Rachel Weisz plays a doctor that's involved in this, who's worked with him. And so he tries to find out from her, get some help from her, but yet she's in big trouble with all this and crazy, and then they're both on the run together kind of thing.
Well, we haven't seen her in an action movie since The Mummy Pictures, right?
Right, right. So she used her running skills from that. She did a great job. Now, this is not like a Bond girl role.
Okay.
This is not looking all pretty, come out of the ocean in a bathing suit kind of thing.
All right.
This is, you know, completely freaking out, doesn't know what's going on. I think she played it really well, that kind of state of shock stuff. Hmm. And but she didn't stay the damsel in distress, because I always get mad when they just stand there and let the boy, you know, do something. I'm like, hit him over the head, do something. And so she kind of kicks in, you know, when that survival kicks in for her, and she, you know, does some good action-y stuff. Yeah. There's some good, like, run around rooftops action scenes. There's a good motorcycle chase action scene. Kind of, it's a good, but, you know, if you've seen the Bourne movies, you know what you're getting.
All right. So did they set it up for another one?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Of course. Please. Yeah. So, yeah, it's, let's see, Scott Glenn's still in it. Stacey Keach is in it. Edward Norton steps up as the big kind of governmental, like, handler.
All right.
He has a big role in this.
Because David Strathairn was kind of playing that role.
Yeah, and so David Strathairn, again, has a small role. All the old guys, you know, network guys are in it with small roles, and then Edward Norton steps up with the big role in this one. But it's good. Jeremy Renner, of course, does action great.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to look at. Running around, getting all sweaty. So, you know. No, it's good. If you like the Bourne stuff, you'll like this. If you hate the Bourne stuff, you'll hate that. I know that's not much of a review, is it? But
was it like Paul Greengrass, shaky cam type action where you're like, oh, God, please stop. My head's getting...
No, not to that point. Okay. And there was a lot less blue wash on it.
All right.
There were actually some bright scenes.
Nice.
No, it's a fun movie. Well, but, yeah, it's completely set up at the end. Like, they wrap nothing up. It's totally, you're going to have to watch the next, you know, three movies they make.
Well, I had intended to get to the movies to see Paranorman, but I did not. But I did watch a movie I had not seen before, which is Joe Carnahan's The Grey, starring Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah, the wolf one, right?
Yes.
Now, is it just an action-y him killing wolves, or, like, what is the deal with that?
It's much more of a human drama. These guys... Let's say the less desirable members of society work on the Alaskan pipelines up north.
Okay.
And they were coming home for the weekend, and their plane crashed. I mean, literally broke into pieces because they were caught in a heavy snow ice storm.
Okay, so it went all lost.
Yes, and they were in the middle of nowhere. almost everyone's dead. There's a handful of 6 or 7 survivors, and Liam Neeson, who exhibited very strong survival skills from the beginning, came out relatively unscathed. But he was actually hired by this oil company to take out any type of wildlife that would affect the guys working on the pipelines. So they set it up early on that these guys are out there in the wilderness doing these things, and he's hiding back in the trees and with a sniper rifle, picking off wolves as they come to attack the guys working on the line.
All right.
So, of course, you know, plane crashes, and he has no weapons or anything like that. They're basically trying to save and salvage anybody that they can and find shelter because it's, you know, 20, 30 below and snow. And then these wolves start showing up, and it's a pack. And, of course, he knows everything about the wolves because he's gotten, you know, inside their head, and he studied their habits and all this kind of stuff. And he knows how they hunt. So it's kind of an us against them.
Right.
Kind of adding an intelligence level to the wolves that may or may not exist in real life.
Okay.
And how the wolves start picking off the survivors one by one. So it's this constant back and forth as, you know, we can't stay at the plane crash site. We have to get down to the trees. And when we get down to the trees, oh, no, now they've got us cornered in one way. We have to find another way. And, and it's like 10 Little Indians. They're, you know, it's getting picked off, picked off, picked off.
Oh, yeah, the Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
Story. Yeah, yeah. Just people going one by one.
So
all right.
A bunch of jump scares and some really intense stuff. And they used a lot of practical wolves in here. And there's some obvious CGI stuff.
Okay.
But Carnahan, who's known as kind of this big bombastic action guy, he did the A-Team and things like that.
Okay.
This is a very intimate, nerve-wracking game of survival. So it's very different, and it takes its time, and it's very well-paced.
It's more thriller.
It is a thriller.
It's not some psycho killer. Like
no,
human.
But it is like the wolves being those, you know, killers. And you see some pretty gruesome things that they do.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I don't know if I'm so in for that. But.
Yeah. It was interesting. Dermot Mulroney's in it in a very different role for him.
Okay, well, good for him.
But Liam Neeson's great. And this really hits way too close to home for him. I was surprised he took this because it's a guy who lost his wife.
Well, maybe that's why he took it.
Tragically. And maybe it was cathartic, but I'm
we all do our therapy in different ways.
I guess, but I'm
not
watching this.
Not all sitting, you know, on a couch in an office.
Yeah, I mean, the intense emotions that he shows in this with regards to his character are all, I assume, extremely real because it's what he went through in real life. So,
okay, yeah.
Not being hunted by wolves, obviously, but.
Well, yeah. Well, except for that part.
Yeah. But there's some beautiful scenery. They actually shot up in Vancouver and not in Alaska, but the desolate, very intense. You kind of feel the cold.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we're seeing. What's been going on at the box office this weekend?
Well, Expendables 2 came first, but with less than $30
million. Ooh.
So not so big.
But it's the end of the summer. You know,
it is.
People are busy with other things.
Yeah, a lot of people have last-minute vacations and stuff like that. But still, not so great. Born Legacy, $17 million, brings it up to about $70
million. All right, that's
respectful. Paranorman, with $14
million. Mm, it's disappointing for me.
The number's not good, but it came in third. Well, so, good news, bad news on that.
And I think I had mentioned to you offline that Alan Horn, who heads up Disney now, has pulled the plug on Henry Selick's latest stop motion. Now, this is the project before he was going to start doing Neil Gaiman's Graveyard Book.
Yes.
So that does not bode well for that project if they've just killed one that's already well into production. So I'd like to see Paranorman succeed in a very big way so that they can
No one ever listens to me when I tell them what to see or not see, Michael, but I'll say it. Everybody go see Paranorman.
It's gotten great reviews.
With your kids.
It really has. And
set up.
Perfect for the Halloween season. And
well, the campaign in fourth with about 13.5, so that's up over $50 million total. Sparkle with $12 million.
People still going to see Whitney Houston.
Yep. Odd Life of Timothy Green, which was the other new one.
Yeah.
Less than $11 million for the weekend, but open Wednesday, so it's $15 million total.
Yeah, I didn't expect much from this thing.
Yeah, it kind of slid in under the radar, and I think it's sat around for a while.
It may do well on streaming and home videos.
I think it's going to be, more of a home thing. For letting kids watching it and rewatching it.
Well, and for what it's worth, Jennifer Garner does have her following. So there are people who will seek out her films just for the sake.
But the two kids movies and Paranorman kind of kicked Timothy Green's ass. So
yeah, unfortunately, the two of them together don't equal the Expendables.
Right.
So
yeah.
Anyways, coming up to the box office this coming week, summer's over, so we're getting back into more art house type, you know, smaller, low-budget films. First up is Premium Rush, which is Joseph Gordon-Levitt starring as a bike messenger who's kind of caught in a deadly package delivery. So it's this race through New York City. It's David Koepp who had...
I like three of the words you said in that.
Bike messenger and Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Well, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, those are the three words.
The rest, I'm kind of like, okay.
Yeah. So we'll see about that. This one's interesting to me. Robot and Frank. So Frank Langella, who I adore.
Like mac and cheese?
Like mac and cheese. Frank Langella stars as a retired jewel thief whose son, who's played by James Marsden, who I can't stand, gives him a robot butler.
I can't stand him except for Hairspray.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Kind of rocked in that. Okay, yeah. Anyhow.
So you remember at Disneyland how they have that Sony robot thing that dances and it's kind of creepy because of how human it acts?
Yes.
So this is a robot like that.
Okay.
And he's kind of there to be a helper to, you know, Frank, who's getting up in age. Mm-hmm. But after a while, the two of them start figuring out that, you know what, together we can kind of reinstitute my life of crime.
No, are you serious?
Yes, yeah, so it's kind of this crime comedy.
With a robot.
So, hey, Frank can do anything and I'll watch it, so.
He can't, but also in this, Liv Tyler, Susan Sarandon, Peter Skarsgård.
It's a pretty interesting cast, isn't it?
And Anna Gasteyer, too, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeremy Sisto. This is like a great cast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then to round out the family-friendly stuff, Jim Belushi.
Oh, yes. It's always so family-friendly.
Stars in Thunderstruck, which
is... Isn't that crazy? That kind of became his thing, like sitcom and stuff.
Yep.
Sitcom dad? When did a Belushi become, like, all kid-friendly?
Remember those movies, the canine movies, where he was the cop or the German Shepherd?
Yeah, he really did go that direction from, like, About Last Night, where he was, like, the filthiest dialogue I've ever heard in my life, to, like, yeah, he's, like, the kid-friendly guy. All right.
Go figure. Well, this is about the 1,000th remake of the Freaky Friday concept.
Oh, good, because we needed a whole 1,000 of them.
Of course. This time, NBA basketball star switches his talents with a 16-year-old fan.
Oh. Okay.
And I'm sure people are just going to be rushing out to see
this. Yeah, you all tell me how that is, because I ain't seeing it.
If you are not going to spend money at the box office this week and are looking for something on DVD or Blu-ray, we've got a bunch of interesting things. Disney is releasing a whole bunch of their semi-later classics to Blu-ray. We've got Aristocats, Pocahontas, The Rescuers. Now, some of these are coming in double packs, like The Rescuers and The Rescuers Down Under.
Okay.
Again, never released to Blu-ray before, so they're both coming together. Pocahontas and Pocahontas 2.
Okay. Which,
this was in the period of the Michael Eisner years where they were kind of whoring out all of their franchises to these terrible, terrible sequels.
Yeah.
And then you've got Lady and the Tramp 2 all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or not.
Or not. Sacha Baron Cohen's The Dictator, which actually played pretty well. There are people who said that, you know, this was the best of his films to date. So I'll be interested to check this out because I have not seen it.
What is?
Classic 1980s action-adventure war game starring Matthew Broderick.
Nice.
Now, the Filibuster Boys were talking and I had forgotten. There's so much in this movie that is so dated.
Oh, completely.
Kids aren't even going to understand half of what they're talking about because they've never been exposed to it before.
No, but it's such a great classic.
Yeah.
Good lines.
I have not seen this in years, but John Badham directs, and I remember seeing it in the theater and loved it. So, and of course, it all made us paranoid that the world could end because a computer would start nuclear war.
Oh, yeah, give all of us nightmares after we watched it, that we were going to die in some horrible nuclear explosion.
Those computers were evil, and
yep.
A bunch of TV stuff. The final seasons of House and The Closer are coming to DVD.
And that Closer just aired, like, last week.
Wow, Warner Brothers wasting no time, are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof,
don't want you to forget it.
And if you haven't caught up on NCIS or NCIS LA from last season, those will be available this week, too, ahead of their season premieres.
Okay.
But the biggest release of the week, and it actually streamed Saturday night at midnight, Lionsgate is taking a page out of Summit's Twilight release schedule, was Hunger Games.
Yes.
All these people flooded Friday night to the stores and waited till midnight to buy the Hunger Games.
Yes, that had stood all night in line to watch it at midnight the day it appeared on the big screen, too.
Yeah. Well, did you ever see it?
No.
Did you ever read the books?
No.
Okay. I never read the books either, but I saw the movie. And while I was impressed with the production values and how they pull it all together, it's really, and the cast is fantastic. They do a really nice job. The core of this movie is about innocent kids slaughtering innocent kids.
Yes.
And it disturbs me to no end.
Yep.
Now, I love dystopian futures, and I love death and destruction on the screen, when not any different than a lot of other guys who go to movies to see that kind of stuff. But when it comes to, maybe I'm getting to the age now where it's like, is this really what we want to be showing our kids? You know?
Yeah.
Is this, how much lower are we going to set the bar here, and what comes next after this? You know, is it innocent kids slaughtering animals for sport? I don't know. Like puppies? I don't know. Where it goes from here? Let's kill kittens and puppies. I don't know.
Yeah, let's just stop at killing people. That's fine.
Yeah.
Let's not move on to puppies.
Anyway, so there's another movie coming, obviously, after this, because this made a buttload of money. And
yeah, they'll do all the books.
Yeah. And it was filmed here in North Carolina, so yay for the North Carolina Film Commission.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that they filmed it there.
Yeah.
They didn't try to make the desert outside LA look like
right.
forest area.
And I adore Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, in everything she does, she's got that Gary Oldman-like quality where she kind of loses herself in a role.
Yeah, exactly.
And this Katniss is very different from the character she played of Mystique in X-Men First Class, which is different from Winter's Bone. So I look forward to seeing her as she continues to grow up and does some amazing things.
Yes.
All right. Coming to Netflix this week, if you're interested in streaming media, Steven Soderbergh's Traffic, Drug Runners, and Michael Douglas's A Government Stooge. There's not much, so we're getting towards the end of the month, and this usually happens with Netflix as they kind of scrape the bottom of the barrel, and then the beginning of the next month they come out with all this stuff. We've got two other things. Halle Berry's Dark Tide, which is her being stalked by an intelligent killer shark over a period of 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to see Halle Berry in a bikini, go for it. Otherwise, there's not going to be much here for you to appreciate.
Right.
There's a documentary called Jiro Dreams of Sushi, which we reviewed on Verdict, which has gotten exceptional reviews. It's the story of an 85-year-old sushi master in Tokyo who runs a 10-seat, $300-a-plate restaurant, and people fall all over themselves to get in there. Personally, yeah. I don't like sushi, so it's not for me, but it sounds like this is a fascinating story of a guy who is living his passion. Over on Hulu, again, we got a couple documentaries, not much. Norman Mailer, The American, which is a look back at the great working class novelist who was very unfiltered in his opinions on life. We've got John Lennon, The Messenger, which is an interesting take because it focuses on John's life before the Beatles and after the Beatles. And we've got a cheesy 1962 Japanese action film called Black Lizard, which is kind of the Sherlock Holmes meets Catwoman.
Okay.
So, not much in streaming media, but hey, there's a lot of other stuff out there that you can poke around there, too. All right, handing over to you for television.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff beginning and ending on TV. Monday, ABC Family is the Bunhead season finale.
What is that?
Bunhead, it's about the ballet dancers.
Oh.
All wear their hair in buns, so they have bun heads, I guess. I don't know. But that actually just got picked up for another season. So fans of that can watch the end of this one, but know it will be coming back. And then beginning on MTV on Monday is The Inbetweeners, which is based on a British show. So I'm sure it will be absolutely horrible.
Yes.
On Thursday on USA, Burn Notice is ending its season. But then Friday on CW, America's Next Top Model College Edition is premiering. Because Tyra Banks wants to show that you can be pretty and smart. And then Sunday on HBO, we've got a couple season enders with True Blood and The Newsroom. Music this week, we got some names from the past. Or Lynyrd Skynyrd has a new album, actually.
Which I don't think there's any
appropriately members of Last of a Dying Breed. And then Kiss's 76 album, Destroyer, Resurrected, has been completely remixed from the original tapes. Oh. And then there is also like new photos and an essay and stuff included with that. But that is coming out this week for you Kiss fans. And then in soundtracks, we actually have one from a series. It's Green Lantern, the animated series. It's a Fredrik Wiedermann does the music to that. And that is out this week. And in books, kind of interesting, Face in the Crowd. It is a short book, just an ebook, but it's by Stephen King.
Oh.
And Stuart Onan. And they had written a previous nonfiction baseball book together. And they have written this new fiction short story. So that is only available electronically. But a book called Diaries, which are actually diaries. It's George Orwell's diaries. Peter Davidson edited it, and Christopher Hitchens does the introduction. And they found like 11 of his diaries from throughout his life. And they have edited it and put it together in a book. And that is available. So you can read about George Orwell in his own words. Theater. Rumors, nothing completely definite, but seems like it will be happening. Aladdin will be the next Disney thing heading to Broadway. It's a musical, of course. It premiered a year ago in Seattle and just recently ran in St. Louis, but it looks like it is going to be coming to Broadway in the fairly near future.
Now, I'm curious to see, because at Disney's California Adventure, they've been running about a 30-35 minute stage version of Aladdin since the park opened.
Exactly.
And I'm curious to see if that was the foundation upon which they built.
Yeah, I don't know how much it'll be like that.
Yeah. Because there's really good music in that. I've seen it multiple times and I really enjoy it. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, those of you in Georgia can see our very own Judge Clark on the stage.
That's right.
And Frankenstein the Musical, the Henry Players.
That's right.
And it runs August 30th and 31st and September 6th through 9th.
Cool.
So, yeah, those of you in the South can go watch Clark on stage. So break a leg to him.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in less exciting news.
Yes.
Than Clark being on stage, what's going on?
Well, we got some really disturbing news yesterday. Late last night, it actually happened earlier in the afternoon in Los Angeles. 65-year-old director-producer Tony Scott committed suicide.
Yeah, this is really shocking.
By jumping off a bridge in San Pedro under the water.
Yeah.
There was a suicide note left. The police aren't saying what it was. The family is asking for privacy. He leaves behind a wife and two kids. And a number of projects that were in development, including a sequel to Top Gun starring Tom Cruise.
Right.
It just shows depression and suicide. People think, you know, somebody has to be completely off balance to do something like that. But this kind of stuff can take anybody. In any case, NBC is cleaning house, starting with The Tonight Show. I mean, the network's been having trouble for years. They've got new management in place. Comcast is taking over. They not only cut Jay Leno's salary, which was huge, it's like $27 million a year, so they cut it in half, which, oh, so sad. He's only making $13 million.
Exactly. He's still making more money than he can do anything with. So.
But credit Jay, he only took the pay cut to save the rest of his staff because NBC had already cut 20 people.
Wow.
And they were going to do more. So and they're not fooling around, which hopefully will mean they're not going to develop any more really crappy shows that they've been doing. Speaking of NBC, Malcolm McDowell is going to do a 2-episode guest spot on Community this season as the study team's history professor.
Nice.
So Malcolm's always a scenery-chewing, fascinating watch.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting
to
see. And speaking of television, the Doctor Who team screened the first episode of Season 7, which is called Asylum of the Daleks, in London last week to great acclaim. And we'll do the same thing this weekend in New York City before bringing it to TV on September 1st. And the season will be split again. We've got 5 episodes that will wrap up the Amy and Rory storyline. And then the Christmas episode kicks off the new companion, and then there'll be a little bit of a break, and then the rest of the season will play out.
Okay.
There's that. Shia LaBeouf has come a long way from his Disney Channel days.
Yes.
He's now doing real porn for director Lars von Trier.
He is not, just because it's real sex does not make it porn.
Okay. Well, what is it then?
I will stand up for this. What he has come out and said, that he's making his new film, Lars Ventura's new film, is called Nymphomaniac.
Okay.
And it's about a nymphomaniac.
Yeah.
Shia has said that the sex will be real. What makes it porn? Is there, what is the point? Is the point to show sex? Or is the point to tell a story of this person?
Oh, I suppose, if that's where you're going
to
draw the line.
The point of this movie isn't to show sex for people to get off to.
All right.
The point of this movie is to tell a story. It's a story about a person. And the person happens to be a nymphomaniac. And the person happens to have sex.
But
so they're
going
to show reality. But, I mean, they're going to show real sex instead of all fake. So supposedly there will be, quote, real sex. Illegal things will be blurred.
Yeah.
So they don't get in trouble for doing something illegal, obviously. So we'll have to see how it actually ends up. And they're just starting filming now. But no, I'll stand up and say there's a big difference. Just because you show sex on a screen does not make it porn.
Well, I mean, there's been sex on screen for years, but it doesn't necessarily have to. It can be simulated. It doesn't have to be real. I don't understand quite. And I'm not a prude by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm just curious as to how much more realistic you think you can achieve by having actual penetration as opposed to just simulated. I don't know.
Well, I think it's, you know, I mean, we're also talking about actors and a director that really push boundaries and are very experiential. And the idea of not acting, of doing and being this.
Yeah, well, it's method. I mean, it's the Hair did the same thing on Broadway where they wanted everybody to be naked, and that's how they wanted to, I don't know. We should see how it plays out.
But the other story that came out of this whole interview was Shia saying how he's done with big budget shit and how Transformers just ruined him and ruined kind of acting for him.
Yeah, well, it didn't hurt his bank account at all.
No, but he's just saying he doesn't want to do that kind of stuff. He wants to not do the big budget studio stuff.
But he also hasn't done a very good job of managing his personal life in the eye of the public, which if you look, and I'm always fascinated by this, you can look at actors who can live their lives and not have any public scrutiny whatsoever, or you have people who kind of live their lives wide open, raw, and unfiltered, and really don't think about what they're doing until it's too late. Speaking of weird things, Disney is thinking of hiring James Gunn. James Gunn, who grew up in the trauma world under Lloyd Kaufman and has done some great movies, most recently Super, with Rainn Wilson. Marvel is looking to hire him to helm their adaptation of Guardians of the Galaxy, which, of course, is an offbeat kind of intergalactic tale because it stars a mercenary raccoon.
Okay.
So maybe
I understand the words that you're saying. Like, individually, but in the order you're putting them all together, I can't quite comprehend it.
Well, and if James Gunn films it, you probably won't quite comprehend it either, but it'll be certainly something to watch.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right, one more story. There is going to be an all-females Expendables movie.
Nice!
So blame the success of Bridesmaids. Stallone isn't doing this. There's another group of filmmakers who are doing this, but they're moving ahead forthwith.
Do we know who's in this?
No, they're just developing the script at this point.
All right. We'll see how that goes.
Yep. Speaking of female trouble, what's up with the Kardashians?
Oh, well, you said it right there. Okay. So do you remember, a couple months ago or something, I was talking about Chris Humphrey's new girlfriend got knocked up.
Yes.
And this is the whole, they weren't dating. They were just neighbors. And then ends up they were dating for months. And then she said she got knocked up. And then she's like, no, I'm not pregnant. Anyhow, she has been called to give a deposition in Kim and Chris's divorce, which we now know will not end this year. This is going to go on for quite a while.
Yeah, this has been in process for a long time.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's going to go on for quite a while. They are not reaching any agreements on anything. But his most recent ex-girlfriend, Myla, got called to give a deposition. And it is scheduled for the one-year anniversary of Chris and Kim's wedding. Nice. And so Myla is talking about how she is totally going to rip Kim and all this. Right. And she actually called Kim a cruel bitch for scheduling it on that day. Because I'm sure Kim was totally in charge of everything.
Okay, now wait a second. So Kanye West can call her a bitch and not get in trouble, but this is a bad thing she does?
Oh, that's true. Well, if you're cruel instead of perfect, I guess.
Oh, I see what it is.
I guess that's not okay now.
All right.
So anyhow, we'll be interesting to see what she says. And I'm sure TMZ and whoever else will have the scoop from some source.
Of course. And I'm sure there'll be a whole season of the Kardashians that will focus on this. So.
Oh, yeah. But the other interesting Kardashian news, after the Olympics, Usain Bolt came out and said how he was like the greatest athlete ever. And some paparazzi caught Bruce Jenner. And he, like, laughed. And he's like, yeah, he won in one sport. I won in 10. Try that. For greatest.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week with more, hopefully less disturbing news than what we had this week. But in any case, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Well, I'm going to take it out in that vein, though.
Oh.
I killed myself, threw away my mental health, but nobody was blinking an eye. Backyard, basement, falling on the pavement, nothing left to say but goodbye.